Heavenly Father, we open these scriptures and we desire, as we have this little time of study, may you open the windows of heaven, may you pour out your blessing upon us, may you unlock your word and may it minister to our hearts, that at the end of this service we be able to say, the Lord ministered to us. Grant it, Father, even as we remember Sister Dorothy, Kiari. Oh Lord, give us strength and grace after the terrible ordeal that she had to go through. Yes, Lord, and as we'll be having the prayer and fasting this weekend, may you put it in every believer's heart to be found. For when we are fasting, the body is weak, but the soul is, the spirit is feasting. So, Lord, we are looking forward to the feast on Saturday. Bless us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let us read John 14, verse 2 to 3. The scripture says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe ye also in me. In my Father's house," everyone say Father's house.
Father's house.
"In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now that is where we are taking our thought, a place for you. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." Now, that is very important. "Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." May the Lord bless the reading of his words. Now, he says, "I will come again." What does that mean? It means Jesus is coming again. Amen?
Amen.
Now, what kind of coming is this? There are different schools of thought on this. When you look at the Jehovah Witnesses, Adventists, these denominations, and perhaps there could be other kind of religious organizations, they don't believe in the rapture. You and I believe in the rapture. We believe that Jesus is going to come and he will take us to where he is. But other denominations, like Jehovah Witness, they read a scripture, like in the book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 7, which the Bible says, "Every eye shall see him when he comes in the clouds." So they say there's no such a thing as a secret catching away of a particular group of people. So in using Revelation 1 verse 7, which says, "When he comes, every eye shall see him, he will come with the clouds of heaven." So it is argued that there's no such a thing as a secret catch away of, well, what we call the bride of Christ. Another scripture used are places like in the book of Zechariah, which says, "When Christ comes, he shall stand on the Mount of Olives." Right? Again, when you read the book of Revelation, I think that should be chapter 19. It speaks of Jesus Christ coming, riding on a white horse with kings, as King of Kings, as Lord of Lords, and he shall rule and he shall destroy, you know, all this Antichrist system, and he shall rule for 1,000 years. Where? Here on earth. So the argument is there's no such a thing like Jesus taking us to heaven or a secret coming of the Lord to cut us away. Actually, when you read scriptures like 1 Thessalonians, where Paul says, "And we who remain," they say, you see, when Jesus said one shall be taken and the other one will remain, they say the one who remains is the one who gets destroyed by the flood. The ones who are taken away, they say they are taken away into the flood. They're taken away into destruction. But we who remain, meaning we who remain and see the coming of Christ, are the ones who are saved. So they say, one is taken, the other one is left. According to the Adventist teaching, one who is taken into destruction, not into the rapture. Now, if you want to know something more about that, you can go on the website, and there is an article I wrote on that. I think I was answering a question, and I was addressing the issue of how Adventists approach that. So I don't want to dwell on that. But listen, when you read John chapter 14, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, they paint a very simple picture to us. And they bring out this fact that when Jesus will come, because in verse 3 he says, "I will come again." Did you see those words? "I will come again," meaning he's coming again. In what way? It continues to say, and receive you unto myself. So when he comes, now, someone can say he was saying those things to the 12 disciples. Well, the question is, has Jesus Christ come in his second coming? All the 12 disciples are dead, right? His second coming is not yet here. So, I will come again and receive you. So, when he comes, he doesn't say, I will come and then dwell with you. He says, I will come and do what? And do what? After I receive you, take you where? Huh? And receive you unto myself. That where I am, where he went to prepare for us a place, right? That where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. Now, one thing that catches my attention, and I'll speak more on this on the podcast tomorrow, but the Lord Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus went to prepare a place for you, for the disciples, for you as a believer, and all that. Now, how important is that place? How much does it mean to you as an individual, as a believer, as a child of God? Well, this is a wonderful promise that he went to prepare a place for us. Now, let us go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from where? Amen. Are you there? Amen. The Lord himself shall descend from? Amen. Okay, good. With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive, and remain. What does it mean, remain? Meaning, those who will be alive and they will remain up to the time of Christ. Because, I mean, some believers will die. Perhaps even here, maybe we may not live to see the rapture. But those who believe and they will remain until the coming of Christ shall be caught up together with them. Where? Huh? Shall be caught up with the Lord. Where? In the clouds. So the coming of Jesus in the rapture, he doesn't come to step on the ground. He appears in the sky, then we meet him in the air. So, to meet the Lord where? Now, you see why in John 14 he says, I will receive you unto myself. Why? He is there and we are the ones. You receive someone, a person who is coming to where you are. Are we together? So, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, this is wonderful. Now, so shall we ever be with the Lord, and it is there where he made a place for you and I. Is that true? Now, let us go to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4 to 9. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4 to 9. The people who don't believe in the rapture, they extend the thought further by saying the great tribulation will affect the believers. There's no such a thing that you are raptured and the great tribulation begins to happen. They say, no. When 666 will be happening, believers have to be around. They have to go through persecution. So in that worldview, there is no rapture. But continuing with what Paul is speaking in 1 Thessalonians 4, as you go into chapter 5, he mentions something which is profoundly important. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4. But ye brethren, can we read together? And I want to hear your voice. What is Apostle Paul saying? Shall we read? But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, and as do others, But let us watch and be sober. Now, remember, the way the Lord narrated this, he said, two will be in the bed, one will be taken, the other one will be left, right? Is that so? And now here, we read, he says, verse 6, shall we read again? Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Now listen to this. Shall we read it? For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. This speaks of the wrath of God that shall come over this earth after his people have been taken away. Praise the Lord. Amen. God says, you are not appointed to wrath. So that is why you have to be taken out before his wrath is poured out. Now, here is a beautiful, wonderful scripture in Isaiah 26, verse 19 to 21. Isaiah 26, verse 19 to 21. Can you go there? Because I want us to read it together. Isaiah 26, verse 19 to 21. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. So let us read verse 19. Thy dead man shall live. Praise the Lord. Hold there. That is a promise. There will be a resurrection. Right?
Amen.
Thy dead man shall do what? Shall live. A day is coming when the dead shall live. That is what Paul was talking about. Thy dead man shall live. Together with my
dead body.
Now, together with my what?
Dead body.
Now, do you remember? There is so much. I want to point to the fact that Isaiah 26 verse 19 to 21, there is so much which is packed in these three verses. A lot. And it covers a long time range. So, he says, thy dead man shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Now, do you know that when you read the book of Matthew, it says when Jesus died and when he resurrected, there were dead bodies which rose, right? Is that so? So, they killed the body of Jesus, but here is a prophetic word. It says, the dead man shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, let us keep on reading. The next word is awake. Shall we read? Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs. Now, hold. This is Isaiah. He is prophesying these things. He's speaking under inspiration. And as he's speaking, he starts speaking about the resurrection from the time of Jesus, when Jesus died and he was raised. And it's prophetic. So as he is prophesying this, it covers quite a span of time. And his prophecy begins from the time Jesus died and resurrected with all the dead bodies which also came up with him. The Bible says they showed themselves in the city Jerusalem, right? And then he says, let us read, awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Wow, praise the Lord. A day is coming when the earth shall do what?
The earth shall do what?
The earth shall do what? Now, you know that at the time of the rapture, as Apostle Paul says, the dead shall rise first. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
And then we who are alive and will remain up to the time of the coming of Christ, yeah, we can now go in the rapture with this dead who are in the dust and shall arise. Now, let us go on. So, the earth shall cast out the dead. Verse 20, shall we read? Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers. Hold there. When that resurrection happens on the day of the rapture, you know what God will say? What Jesus will say? Come, my people, you who've resurrected, you who were alive, come. Enter into thy
chambers.
Enter into thy
chambers.
Not into someone's chambers, but enter into thy, in other words, enter into thy places. Because remember, he went to prepare a place for you. Do you understand that?
Amen.
And when that day comes and he says, my people, enter thou into thy chamber. Do you know how precious the word thy is? Your place, your habitation. When he left, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. You have a place. When the day of the rapture comes, the Lord will welcome you. Remember what he said? I will receive you unto myself. Right? Jesus wasn't speaking those words from nowhere. Isaiah had given a hint at it. And when the Lord came and in John 14, he said, I will receive you unto myself, unto the place which I prepare for you. And here now he says, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers. Shall we all continue? And shut thy doors about thee. Meaning it's a secret. Enter into thy chambers and the door is shut. You understand that? He has received you and he says, the door is shut. He says what? Hide thyself as it were. For what?
A little moment.
How long is a little moment? It's 7 years. Because we get that from the Daniel 70th week, right?
Amen.
Hide thyself as it were for a little moment. Now, as you are hidden for a little moment, what is happening on earth? The day of wrath. The time of wrath. You understand that? It's the time of wrath. And he says, for a little moment until what shall we read? Until the indignation be overpassed. Until the time of trial, until the time of tribulation, until the time of the trying of the people of the earth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When these things will be happening, where are you? You are in the place which he prepared for you. Verse 21, shall we all read together? For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place. Now, wait. When does that happen? When the Lord now comes out of his place, which is his place? He's coming from heaven, right? Whom is he coming with? He's coming with those he hid in their chambers in the place he prepared for them. Praise God.
Amen.
For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to do what? To punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So in there you can see the first resurrection. In there you can see the time of the rapture when God will first remove his people, hide them in the place he prepared for them. And what does he do after the 7 years? Then the Lord cometh out of his place to do what? Not to receive people unto himself, to come and pour out his wrath upon the people of the earth. Praise God. Now the thing is, those, you see, rapture is not a surprise where, oh, you say, oh, even me, I've been raptured. So where is my room? Where is my room? Your place is being prepared now. As long as you are a believer, as long as you have a calling in you, that is your place. You don't know your place in heaven. You know your place here. Praise God. You know your place here. And oh my, there is something I forgot. I needed to read out a quote for you. Now, there is a place prepared for you. Now, do you know how special that is for God to prepare a place for you? Your place is your calling. Some people who have big places, others who have a very small place. Well, when you look at this road, some of our houses are very small. Our yards are very small. Others have got very big, big places. Well, those are earthly things. But there is a place prepared for everyone. Do you remember the experience Brother Branham had? It was rather a prophecy. When Henry, I just remember his first name, Henry. This man, after Brother Branham preached, he went, you know, like trying to hug him and telling him, you know, Brother Branham, what you preached sounded like Is it Revelation chapter what? Is it 23 or something? Trying to tell him the things we are teaching, you know, they're really strange. They're not in the Word of God. As he was trying to speak, then the Spirit of God came on him and he started speaking in tongues. What's read about that? You haven't read that in the messages? Please do read. Then the man started speaking in tongues. And you know what? He started speaking in tongues. Then there were, is it three people? Two, three people? Who said, hey, that doesn't need interpretation. That was French. I speak French. Another woman said, yeah, that was pure French. Brother Bram said, before you speak anything, write what you heard. Write what you heard. And that was on record. When they brought the pieces together, it was word for word what the other man wrote, what the other woman wrote. And you know what the prophecy was? It says, you've made a right decision. A huge portion of heaven awaits you. Right? That is in line with what the scripture says when he says, I go to prepare a place for you, right? But listen to what Brother Branham was told. A huge portion of heaven awaits you because of the decision you made, and you made the right decision, and it is my way. Well, the denominations and the Pentecostals, the Gordon Lindsays of this world, and the charismatics, and all this movement, you know, they say what he teaches is not right. He lost the way. And I'm not interested in what man is speaking. I'm interested in what that authentic prophecy said. A huge portion of heaven waits for you. And the decision you made is the right decision, and it is my way. Remember, that's the time when people were saying, Brother Branham is out of the way, what he teaches, this and that. But here God gave a prophecy to encourage his servant that the way he had chosen was the way of the Lord. Spoken by a mouth which was criticizing him. And the man tells Brother Branham, I don't know what happened. I don't know this thing. And then, well, the people wrote the testimonies, and it came up to be true. Now, what do we learn from that? We're not just speaking this to talk about Brother Branham. It tells you something. Amen? It tells you have a portion, right? Now, that portion is really dependent on the decisions you've made and how committed you are to your calling. Praise God. The other experience beyond the curtain of time, you know the testimony of Brother Branham? I saw everyone, a lot of people, my precious brother, my precious brother. And he was told, these are your converts. Now, saints, when you look at that, it should let you and I know that whilst we live in this thing called time, it's not just to pass time. Like Brother Gunn said, time is a tool in God's hands, and time is a space where you are tested before we move out of this dimension. Our earthly life is nothing but a duration of our test. Once you cross, you go into the grave, it's time. There's nothing you can change you under. You know, that's very critical, right? Now, let us go to Matthew 25, verse 14 to 21. And my question to you is, do you know your place? You won't... I don't know how to phrase this. But look, your place is revealed here. What is your calling? How much of your life are you pouring into your calling? Because that is your place in heaven. Do not think it will just happen. You know, sometimes when you have sudden visitors at home, you begin to wonder, how is that going to put? And if it's a sudden visitor, you are trying to figure out, what are we going to do? Okay, no. These, let them go and sleep in the sitting room. Oh, that's what we usually do in our homes, right? Now, you think that's how it will be in heaven? To say, rapture, Wanzima, I think your place is this. No. It doesn't happen like that. These are spiritual things, right? Now, let us read Matthew 25, verse 14, and I want to show you that the place God has prepared for you has much to do with how you are responding to your calling.
Yeah. Let us read, before we read that, you can put your hand there. Let us read Ephesians 2, verse 6 to 9. Ephesians 2, verse 6 to 9. Ephesians 2, verse 6 to 9. You know, in the time we were in the denomination, heaven was very much mythicized, if there's ever such a term, where you say, oh, it's a secret, I don't know whether I'll go to heaven, it's the secret of God. You've heard of sentiments like that? You've heard people talk like that, right? Cities liwa ni mulungu, chabaziwa ngatunza, nizaenda kumwamba. You won't know of your place in heaven or that very moment. It won't be a surprise. You say, hey, even me, I've been raptured. Ah, it's good I'm in heaven. No. Those who are his, they will know the smell of the rapture. It's even around the corner. Yeah, because you're not appointed to wrath. Now let us read Ephesians 2 verse 6 to 9. What does the scripture say? And has raised us up together. Amen. And made us sit together. Where?
In heavenly places.
Say it again.
In heavenly places.
Is this a future thing?
No.
Is this a future thing?
No.
Even before the physical resurrection will take place, even before the physical translation takes place, potentially, spiritually, what are we taught? And has done what? Raised us up together and done what? Made us sit together. Where? In this church?
In heavenly places
in Christ Jesus. So you need to have a spot whilst you are here, right? We are seated in heavenly places with Christ. Every child of God has a calling. Every child of God has a special place in the heart of God. Praise the Lord. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Right now you are seated in heavenly places with Christ, but there will come a time of the manifestation of that. The manifestation of the sons of God. And the earth is very much waiting for that. Now, let us go and conclude with Matthew 25, verse 14 to 21. This is just an encouragement to all of you. I want you to know that God sees everything you are doing. There is no work you are doing for him that is going unnoticed. But that is not a thing to motivate you that, oh, I'm working, I'm committing to ministry so that God can reward me. Those who are truly filled with the Holy Spirit, that's not their motivation. They do it to the glory of God, not for the sake of the reward. When they do something, they say, this is what we're supposed to do. Actually, we're doing less of it. We are nothing but servants. But God will still keep his promise. He will reward everyone for their work in the kingdom. And this doesn't mean you have to be a missionary on the field. You just need to know your place. Others, God has called them to help, to send missionaries. Others to take care of the house of God. I don't know. But I can't tell you, you have to do this, you know. This is your calling. You have to have a closer walk with the Lord, and you will know your place. Amen. Now, Matthew 25 and verse 14. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. We know who is this man who went to a far country, right? That's the Lord when he went, isn't it? Who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he gave men what? Gifts. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit came with spiritual gifts. You've been given goods. You've been given a talent. You've been given a gift. Whether brother, sister, young child, you have a place in the kingdom of God. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. God has given you something according to your ability. And I need to add, according to your willingness. When you are more willing, when you are more available, God begins to extend and expand your responsibility. Praise God.
Amen.
Yes. Now let's see what happens. Verse 16, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. This speaks of a person who has a gift, who has a calling, and they invest time, they invest prayer, they invest learning, knowledge, yielding, surrendering to God, putting their calling into action. Praise God. And what happens? That gift begins to grow. Now, you know, a gift is a living thing. It's living. The more you exercise, the more you yield, the more you surrender, God begins to anoint you more, right? God begins to expand your territory. God begins to, now, he is not doing these things so that you are famous or so that you earn more respect. And you need to be careful of such things. He is expanding that territory so that more people can be blessed through the calling God has given you. Praise God. Now, verse 17, and likewise he that had received 2, sorry, let's start from verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Now, let me say something here again. You know, when God puts something in your life, in your heart as a calling, there are people whose approach is, I can't do anything. I'm waiting to see what the Lord will tell me. And as they're waiting there, they are very unproductive. Actually, this thing of I'm waiting upon the Lord, many people have taken it as a guise for laziness. I mean, it's an excuse for laziness. I'm not saying you don't wait upon the Lord. I'm saying it is working very well as an excuse these days for people who are lazy and they're not investing time and resources into their calling. Every gift requires you to handle it carefully, the way a businessman treads. A businessman, when you give him 1,000 kwacha, what he's interested in is how is he going to grow that. He will be always watching what are the dynamics of the environment. What are the exchange rates? What are the interest rates like? What are my neighbors doing? My competitors, what are they doing? Others, depending on the nature of business, they will even invest in other skills. They say, I think my team needs a workshop. I need to call for a certain consultant so that they are trained in this particular thing. They're not doing well in this area. We can do improvement. Why are they doing that? You check any organization, any company, which ever amounted to something successful. On top of it was a manager who ensured he never wanted to remain static. He's observant with the dynamics which are happening. He looks at where are my people lacking in skill so that we keep up with the game and the dynamics in industry. Anything which grows never happens so by chance. Success is never a happenstance. That's what these business gurus say. Huh? They like to say that statement. Success is never a happenstance. There is diligence involved. There is investment of time, resources, analysis involved. Now, the Lord Jesus here, he is telling us of our places, our callings, and he uses an illustration of a businessman. I'm not telling you to say God traded. We're speaking about spiritual things now.
Whatever calling gave you, whatever place he has given you in his kingdom, listen to me, I don't care what it is. Is it music? Is it preaching? Is it teaching? Is it cleaning the church? Huh? You say you have a gift of that. Is it cleaning the church? Is it whatever it is? Requires you to take special interest in investing your heart in that. Praise God. Yeah? The thing is, what God has given you is a living thing. It needs to grow. It needs to expand. And once you start putting attention into that, it becomes a blessing. When your gift goes into operation, everyone will say, wow, that is amazing. Everyone starts getting blessed by that. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Now, listen. When the good Lord, when the good master came, listen to what happened. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Reckoneth with them, meaning he's asking them, what have you done? What investments have you done? They need to account for whatever was deposited in them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Now listen to the answer of the master. His Lord said unto him, well done. Well what? Well done means there's something you have to do. There's job. There's work to be done. Right? Yes. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. What does faithful mean? Faithful means whatever resources you have, you are just a steward. You are put in control. Yeah. So listen to me. Whatever you have, money, a house, whatever it is, you need to know those things are not your things. A born-again believer knows that they are stewards. Whatever God has allowed to come through your hands, including children, they are not yours. They've just come through your hands as a steward. Why? The life in them belongs to God. Are you giving them time? Are you mentoring them? You are just a steward. Whether it's a salary or whatever it is, there is absolutely nothing you own. That is why after you die, breath lives on its own. The body decomposes. Even for you to come back to life, it will take the power of God to do that. And even those who burn in hell, when their lifespan has run out, they will simply vanish and life will go back to the owner. We are very poor people. There is nothing we own, not a single thing. You understand that? So don't live life as though you own something. We are just stewards. Whatever comes through our way, whether it's a natural thing, it's a spiritual thing, use it carefully to the glory of God. Praise God.
Amen.
So, now, watch what he was given. And so, he says, behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents. Now, listen to what the Lord says. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful, verse 21, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over
many things.
Enter thou into the
joy of thy Lord.
That was his place. That was his place. The question I'm asking you, what is your place in the kingdom of God? What is your place? You don't need to look for a big place. God can't give you a big place if you are unfaithful with a small place. Whatever it is, be faithful. Don't wait for someone to be over-supervised. Take interest in your calling. How far have I moved? We are halfway through the year. How effective is my calling? When you know your calling, you won't compete with anyone. You know that you are racing in time and you are only competing against what your calling is and how you are working in the race against time. That's the thing that will motivate you. Praise God. No one can take your place. It is a place God has ordained for you, but there will be a time of reckoning coming. Praise God. Well, shall we stand? That was a little thought we thought of sharing. May you be fruitful in your calling. Amen?
Amen.
May you know your place in your calling. Amen?